In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God.
We confess that we are captive to sin and not for ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, overflowing with mercy and compassion, you lead back to yourself all those who go astray. Preserve your people in your loving care, that we may reject whatever is contrary to you and may follow all things that sustain our life in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first reading is a reading from Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them, and of you I will make a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them with the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, 'I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will now read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, and your great compassion blot out my offenses.
Wash me through and through from my wickedness, and cleanse me from my sin.
for I know my offenses and my sin is ever before me. Indeed, I was born steeped in wickedness, a sinner from my mother's womb.
Indeed, you lie and truth deep within me, and would have me know wisdom deep within.
Remove my sins with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be purer than snow. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my wickedness. Our second reading is from 1 Timothy. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one who is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner who repents. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A couple weeks ago in my sermon, I shared a reflection on the book by Howard Thurman, Jesus and the Disinherited, And it's a book that Martin Luther King Jr. had studied and had with him during the Montgomery bus boycotts. Not too long after, in one of the devotions I have, there was an excerpt from a sermon from Howard Thurman on Luke chapter 15, verses 4 to 7. And I'd like to read you part of that reflection here. He offers this from the sheep's perspective. A sheep was enjoying his grass, and then when he started feeling chilly, he didn't recall, but the only thing that he remembers is that suddenly he became aware that he was cold, and there was a throwback in his mind, and he realized that he had been cold for some time, but the grass was good. Then he looked around and he discovered that he was alone, that everybody had gone, that is, that all the sheep had gone. He began crying aloud. And then the shepherd, who had many sheep, missed him when he got back to the fold. And he left his 99 to try to find the sheep that was lost. And Jesus says, God is like that. Nothing heavy and theological about that. Very little that is dogmatic, technically, about it. Just that here is a shepherd who loves his sheep. And one of the sheep, in doing the most natural thing in the world, and that is to eat the grass, did it with such enthusiasm and over a time interval of such duration that he didn't know when the shepherd called and he was lost. And why was he lost? He was lost because he was out of touch with the group that sustained him, the group that fed him, that gave him a sense that he counted. That's all. And as soon as he was out there alone, he said, I'm just here by myself. Nothing but me in all of this. And I want to feel that I count with others. There's a certain warmth in that. There's a certain something that is creative and redemptive about the sense of community, about the fellowship. I think when we hear this parable, particularly through our own cultural lens, these two parables in Luke's gospel, we easily can make it solely about just me and Jesus. I think growing up during the born-again movement, when that was really big, that was what was reduced Christianity to, just this personal relationship with Jesus solely. But we're called to be in community. Community with God. There is a personal dimension to our relationship with God, absolutely. But there's also a communal aspect. And we need that. We don't have community. We're isolated and alone. We don't grow. We don't flourish. We need each other. One of my favorite jokes over the years has been, nobody talks about Jesus' greatest miracle of having 12 friends in his 30s, right? I mean, as we grow older, we kind of find ourselves more isolated. The sheep was just being and doing what sheep do. And when we lose our way as human beings, that's what we do. We get caught up in what human beings do. And we can get so caught up in ourselves that we lose sight of God and one another. What triggers these parables are the Pharisees and the scribes that are grumbling about who Jesus is welcoming and who Jesus eats with. The Pharisees and scribes are getting caught up in themselves. Something it's easy for us human beings to do, to get caught up in ourselves. And when we get caught up in ourselves, we find ourselves separated from the community and then separated from the God who welcomes and dines with them. When we lose our way, we find ourselves going the wrong way, moving further and further away from God and neighbor. Those two things that we're to be devoted to, devotion to God and neighbor. Lost in ourselves, lost and going the wrong way, we fail to see how lost we are. And we see this in our society today. We see examples of religion and expressions of Christianity that lack kindness, lack compassion, lack grace, and lack mercy. As Mark Marius puts it, we love and trust the law more than the lawgiver. When this is what we're devoted to, the law as opposed to the lawgiver. We're not only lost, but we're not sharing the love of God with anyone because we're going in the wrong direction. We're going in the wrong direction, and all that we're sharing is news of condemnation, a spirit and way of segregation that ignores, shuns, and condemns the very people that Jesus welcomes and eats with. The good news is that contrary to what some street preachers will tell you, you don't find God. God finds you. You don't find God because God's not the one that's lost, right? That would make our God very small, wouldn't it? God can't be lost. We're the ones that are lost, but it is God that finds us. And God goes to great lengths to find the lost. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son. And Jesus goes to great lengths. Jesus is faithful to claiming all the lost that he's willing to die on the cross. And through his death, we're given a promise in the resurrection that even in death, we cannot be lost. It's good news, right? That's the good news we share. That we cannot be lost and that God goes to great lengths whenever we lose our way. And these parables are very telling. The sheep and the coin. What do the sheep and the coin do to get found? Nothing. Nothing. They don't do anything. It's the shepherd and the woman that goes searching. And when we get caught up in ourselves, we're humbled to see that we have lost our way. And then what's our response when God finds us? When we're reminded of God's love and brought back into the fold? What happens? We're filled with joy. Our God has gone to great lengths to find us. Our God has told us that those divine arms will never let us go. And we're naturally going to turn to God, right? And another word for turning to God is repent. We turn to God and we share that joy of being found by the God who is love. And then we follow the way of Jesus, the way of the cross. We're now committed to live for others, to welcome others along the way, those who are lost, to eat with them, to laugh with them, to cry with them, to walk with them. Those who are lost. One of my favorite lines in that part of Howard Thurman's sermon is that the people that are lost just want to count, right? Just want to belong. And that's part of our mission as a church to say, no, you belong. You matter. You're created in the image and likeness of God. And Thurman goes on to speak about the pain of being separated from our communities. He says, insulation is something that is spiritual. There's something inside of me that pulls up the drawbridge. Sometimes I do it because I'm afraid. Sometimes I do it because I'm clumsy and awkward. And I don't know how to establish a relationship or relationships with my fellows that can float my spirit to them and bring their spirit to me. Now, Jesus says that God is like a shepherd, seeking always to find those who are out of community with their fellows. And when they have found their community with their fellows, then all the world seems to fit back into place, and life takes on a new meaning. The lost sheep, the searching shepherd, and the cry of anguish of the sheep was the voice of identification that the shepherd heard. That is how God is, if we let him. It's easy to listen to these parables and think of our relationship with God just as a solo endeavor, but it's communal. God is drawing all people to God's self. God wants us not to be segregated from one another in the church and the world, but brought together. God desires to reconcile the whole world to God's self. And we are not lost when we turn and trust in the amazing promises and grace of our God. We love as God loves us. That's what we're sent in the world to do, showing mercy, kindness, and grace. The sheep, the coin, and each and every one of us, we do nothing. But God does everything when it comes to our justification and our salvation. And in our repentance and response to that amazing grace, we continue to find our way in the world, knowing that our Lord once again welcomes sinners gathered around a meal, welcomes each and every one of us, where our Lord is both host and meal, fed and nourished in this holy meal, the body and blood of our Lord in Jesus Christ. We don't only get a foretaste of the feast to come, but we experience the church, the community of the church, of every time and every place, a reminder that in death, we're not lost to one another. We're feasting with the church of every time and every place, with the crucified, risen, and living God. We take comfort in that. Not dependent on having to do the right things all the time or having all the right answers, but trusting that love, trusting who God is, trusting the God who's pledged to never let us go. And as we follow the way of Jesus, may we share the good news of our God who spares no expense to find us and hold on to each and every one of us forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As scattered grains of wheat are gathered together into one bread, so let us gather our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of God's good creation. Your people receive mercy, and your grace overflows in our lives. Fill your church with faith and love, and give understanding hearts to those who work to strengthen our ecumenical and interreligious commitments. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, our Stephen ministry, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God, God of grace.
Hear our prayer.
Your creation groans as it suffers the impacts of pollution and lack of care. As the seasons change, renew in us the will to protect plants, animals, and habitats. Bless us with bountiful harvests that all may share, God of grace.
Hear our prayer.
The world is shattered, and the nations rage. Remember us in your mercy. Teach wisdom to our elected leaders so that we know peace in our world, peace in our homes, and peace in our hearts. God of grace. Your children wander homeless and the hungry cry for bread. Seek out those who are lost or lonely, anxious or depressed, or struggling with addiction or illness. Provide for those in any need, especially Tracy, Maddie, Scott, Amber, Marjorie Denzer, Pat, Andrea, Vincent, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Betty, Stan, Barb, Jerry, Phyllis, Cheryl, George, Lucas, John, Cindy, Leah, Carol, Mark, and, of course, our homebound, God of grace. Father, your work is done in the congregation with our hands, feet, voices, minds, and hearts. Build up the ministries of this community that we serve our neighbors and welcome the stranger in your name, God of grace. Holy God, we pray for those in our armed services, especially Kate and Luke and their chaplains, God of grace. Your blessed saints who have died now rest in your presence. Give us thankful hearts for those who have been examples of faith in our lives, and receive us with joy when we come to share eternal life with you, God of grace.
Gather together in the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, gracious God, we offer these and all our prayers to you through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated. We continue with the offering.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts towards those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, you we praise and glorify, you we worship and adore. You formed the earth from chaos, you encircled the globe with air, you created fire for warmth and light, you nourished the lands with water, you molded us in your image, and with mercy higher than the mountains, with grace deeper than the seas, you blessed the Israelites and cherished them as your own, that also we, estranged and dying, might be adopted to live in your spirit. You called to us through the life and death of Jesus. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Together as the body of Christ, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. With this bread and cup, we remember your Son, the firstborn of your new creation. We remember his life lived for others and his death and resurrection, which renews the face of the earth. We await his coming, when with the world made perfect through your wisdom, all our sins and sorrows will be no more.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Holy God, holy and merciful one, holy and compassionate, send upon us and this meal your Holy Spirit, whose breath revives us for life, whose fire rouses us to love. Enfold in your arms all who share this holy food. Nurture in us the fruits of the Spirit, that we may be a living tree, sharing your bounty with all the world.
Amen. Come, Holy Spirit.
Holy and benevolent God, receive our praise and petitions as Jesus received the cry of the needy, and fill us with your blessing until needy no longer and bound to you in love, we feast forever in the triumph of the Lamb, through whom all glory and honor is yours, O God, O living one, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. At this time, I'd like to call forward any communion assistants and those participating in Children's Church. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated host. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that will be on the pulpit side. An usher will have trays of glass cups to release you forward. Just take a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. Thank you. Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore through Jesus Christ our Savior and Lord. Amen.
A couple announcements. Following this service, we have some pizza and fellowship, and we're accepting donations for our St. John team as Walk to End Alzheimer's, which is taking place in October. Linda?
A couple things I want to pinpoint in your bulletins this morning, and that is tomorrow morning is our Welcome Bible Study. It is an outreach that we do at Chadwick. I will meet here at the church at 9:30. For those of you that would like a ride, we'll be glad to do that. The actual Bible study is at 10, and hopefully it's going to be on Zoom. So if any of you want to Zoom in, you should get that link yet this afternoon. But I would be more than happy to have other people join me in going. Another one is we have our Welcome Southeastern Fall Gathering coming up. It says the deadline is the 26th. The sign-up sheet is still on the bulletin board. I will take it down today. We would love to have a good response for that and enjoy the morning of that on October the 8th. The other one that I would like to emphasize comes from the Stephen Ministry. As a commissioned person in Stephen Ministry, our commission is that we are to stand by people who are needing assistance in their walk through a phase of life. Those people that are listed on our prayer chain are that group of people especially. But I would like to pinpoint one person in particular that I would like to extend you as a helping hand to the ministers. We have a gentleman on the list whose name is Stan Heacock. Stan's mother was a ringert, so that may ring a bell with some of you. Those of you that are newer to the congregation may not understand that. Stan and his wife, Carol, were both members of our congregation until they were grown and out of college and took jobs elsewhere. Stan has been on our prayer chain simply because he had a brain tumor several years ago. He has gone through various kinds of therapy, At this point, the therapist, he has decided not to do anything more. The doctors have given him 3 to 5 months. And so as an outreach to him, I am simply saying I have extended the rays of sunshine in the hallway, in the narthex. I have put additional thinking and praying of you cards there. I have also a little envelope that has their address, because their address is not in our special blue book. And I would just simply extend that opportunity to you to go ahead and pick up one of the praying for you cards or thinking of you cards, or if you have one at home, feel free to do so. But the address is there, and I'm sure that during this time that would be a greatly appreciated thing. Our Stephen Ministry program here is not down there at this time, so we just want you to help us out with that. Thank you.
Jerry?
I just want to extend a welcome to everyone to come next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. We're going to start choir again, and we're going to practice at 9 o'clock next Sunday morning and sing at the service then. And it's open to everyone, high school age and up.
Hiding behind him. I am also part of the property team on this wonderful campus that we have here. I am going to have a work day scheduled for the property on September 24th and October 1st, if we need it, because I'm sure that every single one of you will look at my list and go, oh, I can do that, and I will have it done before then, right? That's what I thought. But if so, there are things that can be done during the week, things that need to be put up on walls or painting, things like that. So come see me, come see my list, and I would love if I can get like 2, 3, 4 names for each little thing. That would be great. Thank you so much.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let's recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.